friends below. I didn't say you should give them money up. I said give a humble friend to the Lord. Dr. Jamran, thank you so much for sharing such a powerful word. So I'm going to speak. It's more of a continuation of what I've been teaching on. But we are going to take it from two angles altogether. You realize that the extremes present in the Church of God has really caused a lot of harm. So the two extremes that we have been emphasizing on is one has to do with the gifts of the Spirit, and then one has to do with the fruits of the Spirit. And recently there has been all forms of bashing, condemnation, I mean, people saying all sort of things against themselves when it comes to the body of Christ. And sometimes it appears that holistically we do not understand what God is doing or what the actual plan of God is. So each man rises up and would not acknowledge the presence of arrogance or pride, and saying that this is what God is doing in this season and it is with me. Do you get it? So sometimes our encounters become very skewed. Very, very, very to the extreme end. As if we happen to be the only group that God is using to bring order in the church. And that is actually a deception. Because we have come to understand that the body is very, very practical, though one. We have various individual members within the body. Hallelujah. And if we want to neglect the functioning of all the other parts of the body and assume that the body is just the heart, or the body is just the brain, or the body is just the stomach, that would be a very, very big error. And you can imagine how horrible it is if it'll be like cartoons. Maybe you can see just a head walking with legs. That is very, very, very horrific. Hallelujah. But we are not saying it that way. But what is actually being portrayed shows that it is like that. So we need to have a body mentality. Hallelujah. You are not the only one that God is using. Amen. You are not the only one that God is using. Amen. God has already stated in His word concerning the distributions of His grace. Hallelujah. So whoever makes himself available by the special grace of God, you find yourself operating in certain dimensions. And if you happen not to find yourself operating within that dimension, definitely there is also a dimension of grace that you operate in. Do you understand? It is the distribution of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 says that there are diversities. Hallelujah. And if there are diversities, meaning that there are differences as well. Hallelujah. But then it is distributed by the one and the self-same Spirit. Are you here with me? So Pastor Israel might have a peculiar gift. Pastor Pablo will have a peculiar gift. Obed will have a peculiar gift. Abeg will have a peculiar gift. Hallelujah. We might not be functioning in that same capacity, but when you look at everything from the back, it makes sense. It makes sense. And yes, we need to acknowledge, because the scriptures also acknowledge that the body is still growing, and enlarging. And the scriptures also make it clear that the Spirit of God is working on the church to, so that the church can be presented without any form of spot and blemish. Meaning that the process of perfecting of the church is still ongoing. Hallelujah. So we do not neglect the fact that there are several processes that we need to go through. It's a necessity, just like how we go through our normal life processes. It's a necessity. But we should not also ignore the fact that it's a many-membered body. It's a many-membered body. So, now, in our part of the world, you know, there are various divisions when it comes to the Christian world. You have the west side, you have the eastern side, and all that. Let's talk about the middle region, Africa. Yes. So, in Africa, you find a lot of passion. You find a lot of people that seem to love God. But then you realize that in spite of the purity of the heart in the pursuit of God, there is something wrong with the foundations. Hallelujah. With the foundation of how it has been presented. So in Africa, you find a spiritual space where there's a lot of prayers ongoing. People love God. Church every time and all that. But then when you look at the details or the content of their pursuit, you realize that there's a question mark there. So enough. Should I be using Africa, or should I should use, okay, in this part of the world? You know, I should still say it there. Okay. It happens in other deprived regions too, but I mean, understand the context here. We are trying to look at our environment, then we go to the other parts of the world. I'll talk about other parts of the world. You understand the reprobateness and the depravity also in that side, despite certain few things, desirable things there. So in Africa, it appears like a very good spiritual atmosphere because prayers are always ongoing. People love the Lord, moving from place to place. But when you check what is ongoing with scripture, you realize that there are a few question marks there which we need to look at. So for instance, what is the purpose of prayer? What is the purpose of prayer? Or what is the purpose of we being in the house of the Lord? That I would dwell in the house of the Lord. What is the purpose of that? What is the purpose of prayer? So here, so many prayers ongoing, but what is it centered on? Who can say what the prayers are centered on? It's always about gimme, gimme, gimme. Lord, gimme. Yes, so killing. We are dealing with every spiritual wickedness in high places. We are dealing with poverty. And it's understandable, that is the situation. That is the situation of the people. And in fact, as I'm saying to you, your prayer that Lord changed my story.
Amen.
Is it not so? Amen. Though you seem a little bit okay, but it's always that Lord changed my Lord. When will I drive that Range Rover or Jaguar? God.
Amen.
It has been your prayer. Oh Lord, when will I get to that house? When will I finish building? When will I complete my... I'm not saying it's not important. It is very, very important. Even God said he will build this church. Hallelujah. Taking it out of context. I'm finding something to support you. So it's good. It's a good one. It makes you comfortable. If you have a very nice house and you are there. I mean, if the environment is good, you can serve the Lord very well. It's good. But you realize that our pursuit is just centered. Our prayer life is centered on, Lord, give me this. So imagine your prayer life is centered on that, and it is not about divine deposits or energization from the Spirit of God. It's always about, let me ask you this there. if you know someone that is always asking or like troubling you, not family, not your responsibility, how do you feel about the matter? Like every single moment. Okay, so we were at the hospital then. I took Sarah to the hospital. But by God's grace, Sarah's delivered a baby girl. So we have a new member of the family. Yeah. So I went to the pharmacy to buy some things that I have to buy then. And Sarah came to whisper to me that, oh, they said this woman there, sitting there, is going to ask me money. Because that's what she has been doing. She has been asking everybody for money. She will tell you stories. So if she comes, I should know what to say. So now when my mind was prepared, I mean, the way I am, if I have, I'll just take and give to you. So whilst I was buying the thing, the doctor there was serving me, the pharmacist, and the woman said, oh, bruh, like, come. So what I've been told, no, the same thing, she started asking, oh, she needs money for this, she needs money for this, she needs money for that. I found a story to tell her, though. So I didn't, because I was pre-informed that that is the way it is. So it reflects everywhere in Africa, like, or in this part of our world, it's all about give me. You are asking. I mean, it is not very healthy. Hallelujah. And it doesn't also show growth, spiritual growth. Because, for instance, the only reason why your parents will still be responsible for you is because they know that you don't have the capacity. You don't have the capacity. Or unless you are extra deep, that maybe your grandmother is having money. So even when you are working still, they are giving you. It's a few people I've seen. It's just a few people that I've seen like that. When doing national service, you were getting your allowance, but still they were giving you money. You see? You finish, you start work, they are still giving you money. But in your mind, you'll be thinking that, hey, Charlie, my life is good. You don't know that it is destroying your life. It is not making you responsible. Anyway, that's the desire of many people here. So, look at it. There is a season for everything. So, I'm not saying that it is not good. But we are looking at spiritual progression. As a people or as a child of God, you must evolve. You must grow. Unfortunately, when it comes to matters of Christianity or matters of our faith, spiritual growth, it is not like that. It is quite unfortunate. So you realize that when you measure what a believer knows from 10 years ago, is this basically the same? Even just with normal Christian knowledge, it is basically the same. Nothing has really changed. Nothing has really changed. You are not reading books. You are not meditating on the scriptures. You are not like... It's just the same. And comparatively, when you look at your life, naturally, you are advancing. You finished your course. You become a doctor. You finish your course. You become like a lawyer. You finish your course. You've grown. Like, in every other area, you are growing. But when it comes to God, you are not getting your... You still do not have certificate. I'm not saying you should get certificate or you should go to Bible school or something like that. No. I'm trying to say that as every area of our life is evolving, so must our spiritual life also grow. We must grow. And unfortunately, we've underestimated the power of spirituality. Hallelujah. Many people think that when you're spiritual, you are likely to be uncivilized, or you are likely to be very late. So usually we look at some of the practices in this part of our world. So you are looking at voodoo, you are looking at juju, you are looking at what are some of the practices dealing with Sam Gomez and Chofan Chemes and all that. we look at that side of it, the very bad or evil side of the whole thing, and we are not able to make a very good sense out of it. But when you look into the scriptures, from Genesis, the book of Genesis, even in the depravity of men, you realize that men were really advanced. And it wasn't just through... How do you think knowledge came? Knowledge came to people. In fact, from the book of Genesis, I'm not going to talk much about that, but from the book of Genesis, it tells you that there is something spiritual about knowledge, that we have something we call tree of knowledge. So what is it that people were contacting? Not necessarily the tree of knowledge, the tree of life, or whatever it is, but I'm trying to say that there are spiritual entities that were present. They were more of like, they carried so much knowledge. You see, they carried so much knowledge. So later, you heard of the men of renown. You heard about Nephilims and Rephaims. Yes, you heard about it. And what created all these things? You realize there was the contact of what we call the sons of God with the daughters of men. Hallelujah. So even though it looked physical, still there was so much deposit of spiritual knowledge. Knowledge that was alien to our world. Hallelujah. How do you think all of a sudden wickedness started coming up? Why, what at all will men do to themselves that now God will look at it and say that wickedness has superabounded? That means it wasn't wickedness of even human origin. Like, it was a corruption. Because when you look at the scriptures, man was created for the delight of God, for the pleasure of God. So then why will God want to mess up all that he has created? Hallelujah. Because there was a corruption with what? Alien, how do we call it? Alien spirituality. And it led to all sort of things. So when you look at it, in those days, you know, sometimes physically right now, you know, archaeologists, they go to places and they said, okay, they are trying to look at a few things. Then they are excavating pyramids. They excavate, I think you know about the pyramids of Egypt, because that's the most common. There are pyramids almost everywhere. And then you know about the common one, the Nimrod story, the tower, the Tower of Babel. You thought it was, they were just building, oh, we are just building, like, we want the building to go high so that we can access heaven. What language do you think they were speaking? We know that it is so high. What material are you going to build to get that high? Or they didn't have much knowledge, so they thought that as they are creating, they will enter into the skies. You think mountains were not around them that time? And what type of building would you build such that it will go into, it will deeper into the heavens to access certain portals? Think about it. You see, so there was a very great connection of spirituality and civilization. Amen. So it is usually believed that before even the flood, or before the creation, that is a theory actually, when it comes to that theory, before everything messed up, everything was in the right state. Hallelujah. So it is believed that many of the things that we are actually discovering, that we are calling discovery, they are actually rediscoveries. Do you understand? Yesterday, I saw an ancient video. They were trying to analyze how the cutting of the blocks for, you know, looking at how the ancient Egyptians, like how their blocks of the pyramid look like. You know, these were things that were hewn from stones. So if these things were hewn from stones, how come in those days, if we are saying that they are retarded, their minds were retarded, they didn't know anything. They didn't have any knowledge in the stone age. So how, yes, it was like a stone age. So how were they able to cut perfect blocks like that? And then they made an analysis that if they were even cutting perfect blocks, hewing perfect blocks out of, let's say, mountains or stones and all that, the amount of time it would take to hew one block, it is so much time, perfect block. A And how many blocks are you going to join together to give you that Tower of Babel or to give you that pyramid in Egypt? Just begin to imagine. So it tells us that we are thinking we are advanced, but you have no idea the spiritual realities or the kind of connection that you can have with spirituality and technology. And by God's grace, I have seen a little into that, into the realms of the spirit. There are a lot of, many of the things that we think are quite advanced, they are just more of like prototypes. Like we just have glimpses of them. Like, okay, this is how it is. Let's replicate it here. Many of the things that we are doing, we still do not have deeper insights of it. And you can see many of the things that God showed Moses and all that, he just replicated them. Moses replicated it in the tent form. This guy replicated it in the temple form. How do you call it? Building form. Mm-hmm. There were pictures of the things that they were seeing. There are things in the realms of the spirit. That's what I'm trying to say. And there's supposed to be a very great connection. But in this part of our world, we have alienated the spirituality of our lives from scientific discovery, from how they call it, technology and all that. We said, okay, it was spirituality. Then, no, there's, we all know about the compartments of the man, you see. And if the man is going to yield to the Spirit of God, you realize that God is going to bring that true balance. I always speak about true balance, like in every area of your life. Let me show you a scripture. Daniel. Open to Daniel. Daniel 1. Daniel 1. Let's look at Daniel 1. Daniel 1. Is it 17 or so? Let's look at it. Daniel. Where are you? Okay. So Daniel chapter 1 verse 17. You all know about the story. I'm not going to. You all know about the story. The Hebrew boys and the king, the king's table, and all that. So this is the report of the four Hebrew boys. So talking about, you know about the guys that went into the furnace, right? I don't want to talk about the whole thing. It's prolong there. But this is the report. So let's say that these guys are people that love God. They were from amongst God's people. And then they found themselves in another land, a strange land. But then they still maintained their spirituality. They still love the Lord. And so these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill. Hallelujah. In all learning. What is it? Is it in all what? Learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So in all learning, these guys, whether it came, you realize that when it came to matters of faith, they were sound. They were sound to the point that whether it was in the fire, God should come, he shouldn't come. Like, we are convinced about what we believe in. I hear they have so much conviction. And they knew, you know, in those days, the kings had magicians, they had people that practiced sorcery, people into witchcraft, then those into science and all that. The report that was given of Daniel, what will you say? What will you say of Daniel? I'll read that portion to you. What will you say of Daniel? So, you see, in our generation, when someone dies, they want to find the cause of the problem. They don't go by the medical record that they doctor would give. They said, okay, well, let's go and find out like the spiritual reason why this guy died. So we'll try and consult a witch and all that. Okay, so in those days there were all those people there. And these four people that love God, they didn't want to they didn't want to taint their garment. Hallelujah. They stayed away from the king's food. For you, what would you have said? Wow, this is an opportunity. Like, God has given opportunity to be eating in Kempinski. Like, it's a blessing. My level has changed. I eat with the king. I eat with the president. Yes, that's right. You'll be quoting all the scriptures. Just go. They have self-control. How many of you will be seeing meat and you say that you like vegetables? Which people, unless maybe you've had some serious health attack on your life that like you don't want to. But how many of you will see this? And there's not any meat. The kings. Imagine what they are treating kings. They treat for kings. I believe it will be a maybe three course meal morning, three course meal afternoon, three course meal. They decided to stay away from it and all that. He said, ask for this four. Four children. God gave them. He said, God gave them. So could it be that there is a limitation of our minds when it comes to assessing all the possibilities that there is in the realms of the spirit? Because that God gave them. What Pastor Juan was talking, he spoke about how God gave what? Solomon what? Wisdom. And he also mentioned another man called Joseph. Last year when we talked about excellence, we looked at Joseph and then Daniel. So Joseph could also what? He had all these understanding. And not just that, after he explained everything to the, how do we call it? The king, Pharaoh, and all that. Pharaoh could not still picture the extent of the. He knows that there's a great famine coming. There's a season of what? Great plague, like plenty. Plenty will come and it'll be season of dryness. But how can we really plan for that then? This one, they'll be bringing in people, economists, people that can forecast. Okay, let's do this, let's do that. But this guy was there. Somebody that came straight away from the prison. Somebody who asked, what qualification does he have? You need school in the schools of Egypt. You have not even been trained. We only know you as a dream interpreter. And all of a sudden, because of this dream interpretation, his life was changed. Life of nations was what they were all saying because of that. And then he was put in charge of it. Okay, you, since you have a very good understanding of the thing. So now he became everything that a minister could become. Everything that, I mean, a president could become, he became. He had all the privileges. Either. So what I'm trying to say is that there is a possibility. I've given you many reasons when it comes to assessing the very evil dark portals of the world. There is a spirituality assigned to that. You think the emergence of weapons and all that, what will come into people's mind to create weapons of mass destruction? What will come into someone's mind and say that let us wipe away the Jews, or let us wipe away this particular group of people from the field, let us wipe away Africans? Okay, let's create biological weapons. If the nuclear weapons is being restricted or seen as evil, we can create biological weapons and nobody knows. It's just an epidemic or pandemic or something that is breaking out. Or we're doing some studies, advanced studies, and then leaked out. Hallelujah. Whatever happens, you need to understand its origin in the realms of the spirit. So that thing, Babel thing that they were building, let's assume that they couldn't even build much. How were they going to? Why do you think God had to come down? It was a serious matter. It was beyond go and multiply. How do you call it? Be fruitful and multiply and scatter. It was beyond that. Why would God have to? They are multiplying. They are fruitful. They didn't say they are doing this thing. How do you call it? They are tying their own reason. Did he say that? Just that, oh, okay, we found a place. Is it what they call land of what? Is it Shinar or so? Something like that. Is that what? They found a place and they are just building. They are just building to the heavens. Is there a problem? We want to build a skyscraper. And God had to come down and then come and bring confusion amongst us. It's a very, very big matter. when you read the things, think deeply about it. Hallelujah. It has to do with contact with all sort of spirits and things. High places. Hallelujah. Amen. One day you understand. Okay. So let's read Daniel 2. Just to add to what I just said. Verse 8 to 10. Is it? The king answered and said, "I know of certainty that you would gain the time because you see the thing is gone from you. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree." But what is the prayer? Let me see. I don't want this to be plain. Let me jump. Okay, so the challenge answered before the king and said, "There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that has such things of any magician or astrologer or chaldean." Hallelujah. So the situation was very, very worse, such that there was no man that could actually explain what the king is searching for in the whole kingdom. And it was just one of them, Daniel. When you continue, you realize that he said what he had, excellent spirit. So how come the whole kingdom or empire, how come there was nobody to be found? Or in our generation, everybody's skilled, everybody's attaining something. No, there is a uniqueness that can come upon a man. Amen. God can make you very different. Very, very different in your generation. But many have not accessed that. And that is what is used against the church. So I see very nasty comments where people say that, okay, what are the church invented? You see, when they are trying to talk to discredit the church, oh, you pray every time, you are praying, you are doing this, you are doing that. Oh, what have you also brought into existence? Yeah. You see, we lack so much. Meanwhile, all these things, debts, difficult things that people pass us, mysteries. Is it these guys? These were the guys. So when we are living our life, we should understand the possibility made available to us as people that are pursuing the Spirit of God. Are you here with me? There is so much available to us. As I said earlier, sometimes because of our environment, hardly, imagine you go to, let's say, a well-structured system, a place where everything is well-structured. Ask me the kind of prayers that you'll be praying. Do you know why when a lot of Africans outside, they become cold? It's just a few that are able to maintain the fire, because it means that when you were on earth or in, you see, people have called the place heaven glass. Last word. I'm even saying that when you were on earth, you see, it has affected me. When you were on earth, now you've gone to heaven. Because when you were here, your prayer life was not based on, it wasn't based on developing knowledge of God or learning the ways of God or having that sweet relationship with God. It was always about, you are dealing with your family demons. It's important to, you're in Africa. Okay. you are dealing with your family demons. You are dealing with, how do you call it, witchcraft, fuel issues, accommodation issues, problems. Maybe when you buy the land, can they take it away from you? Like, everything is so disorganized. So now it's like you have escaped. You have escaped the realm here. And now, when you get there, you realize that, okay, so now you don't have anything to pray about. You're not praying about anything. So if you're not praying about anything, then why should you pray? But if you have that sensitivity within you, you realize that, no, something is wrong. Something is wrong. I told my cousin was saying that the atmosphere is a little bit somewhere for her. It's like, hey. So you think you are seeing it heaven, but it's a devil's land. She wouldn't want to come home, but she's just giving you an idea. She likes the place, but she's just giving you an idea in the sense that when it comes to spirituality, if you are not careful, you might not be able to build yourself well. And there are instances where, interestingly, preachers, even preachers, anointed, very, very highly anointed people. Now you go there and everything seems to be working, you are working. If you don't take care, life comes some way. I mean, these are things I'm talking to you, realities I'm talking to you about, actually. So you need to have a reason why you are pursuing God, or why you are loving God, or why you are doing the things you're doing. Or else the moment you get all the answers in a place where the system seems to be working, you might not have anything to pray about. And that shows that your foundation of prayer was wrong. That is what I'm trying to point to. That shows that your foundation of prayer was not right in the first place. And it's not because of anything, but I mean, you were born into it. So now, even here in Africa, people that have almost everything, don't even have a problem, they still fear, panic every time, thinking that they might lose it all one day because of the atmosphere. So prayer is always about when we'd rather have to grow. You see, people neglect the fact that when you grow, you begin to recognize your authority. You see, you begin to recognize your authority in Christ Jesus. So now you realize that the hours that you will use to be praying and asking for certain things by virtue of your spiritual growth and maturity, some of the things will just easily be dealt with. Because, you know, imagine being tormented by a demon or any of those life problems and issues. And this is where people's cases coming to the Lord Jesus. How did he deal with them? By authority, he dealt with them. And now his scriptures have made it clear that this is what he has given to you. He has given you authority. Even if you think you don't have it, like I said, physically you're not in it, he said he has given you. So on his account. But then if you do not build your foundation on that knowledge that in Christ he has given us authority and all that, I mean, we rule by knowledge. We rule by the kind of life that we have. That is how you get direction in life. So if that light is absent, you're going to struggle. So there are many people, and I realize that sometimes what even keeps many people alive, I mean spiritually alive, is because of continuous problems. But it shouldn't be so. Like, so I've had interactions with people. So, oh, life is life is good. Life is very, very good. Oh, because of what I went through, it really made me pray. You understand? So the reason for all the prayers, it was actually trying to solve a problem. A problem that probably chased you from Africa. Do you get it? You've gone. So it's like, hey, this problem is still okay. Now we have to pray so that nothing harms us and all that. But that is still not a prayer. That's still not a prayer life or the main reason why we should pray. We need to get it rightly, or the moment you find yourself in a different environment where there seem to be answers, you might not have any reason for ministry. You might not have any reason for spirituality. And when that happens, now you become exposed to all sort of things. So now, let's read Romans. Open to Romans chapter 1. When you go back, you can go and read the whole story in 2. It's long. That's why I jumped. That you get the whole. I know you know the story. We've read it before. The whole of last year, we looked at it, so. You can open Romans 1. Hi there. Okay. So let's go to verse number 20. Because that which be known of God is manifest in them, for God had showed it unto them. So this is talking about how God is revealed to people, through nature and all that. So God is saying that he has shown it to them. So we are without excuse when it comes to knowing God. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. So now, if we are saying that God and everything that he does, everything about spirituality always invisible, we are dealing with the things that we are supposed to see. Now, he's telling you that those invisible things that you think they are invisible, they are not relatable when it comes to the physical world. He said, it's very relatable if you'll be discerning. He said, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. He said, it is what? Clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So when you look at the things that have been made, if you'll be a critical thinker, is this when somebody says that is a critical thinker, what you're trying to say that you are thinking scientifically. And in trying to think scientifically, they feel that science is opposed to religion, or science opposed to spirituality. Meanwhile, I've proved to you that from the beginning of the world, weapons of war, skyscrapers, technology, even within that stone moment, science was there. So maybe we are rediscovering so many things. Look at it. He said, it's being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power. So now, if someone says that he's really a critical thinker, or he's very scientific, now this is what the scripture is saying. He's saying that even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So if you're thinking does not lead you to God, then it means that you actually took God, or you took whatever is pointing to God, out of your thinking. I don't know whether you are seeing the point. Because if you should always sit down, think about it, everything has a source. Physically, we are not even thinking spiritually. There is an architect for everything. So I say that the way things appeared and everything, it just appeared like that. such that even his invisible attributes, the invisible things, they are made bare by the things that we see. So, oh man, you are without what? Excuse. If you look at some of the Solomon's writing, he speaks about he that is wise. If you are wise, then he started talking about creation. Who is he that pounds the waters in his hands? And all that. He started speaking about some of the things that Jesus actually did. Then he asked, what is his name and what is his son's name? This is someone that sought to know what knowledge and then what? Foolishness. And like fully. So even though this man veered off and did all sort of strange things, exploring foolishness, exploring women, exploring like different things, he's still telling you that no. At the end of it all, it points to what? It points to God. Now see, now he's pointing what man actually did. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. So do you know what actually brings us to this place? You come to know God and yet glorify him not as God. When you look into what happened in the garden, he said that you shall be like what? You shall be like God. Hallelujah. So, and when you look at the commandments, the Ten Commandments, I thought that four of them actually makes reference to your love for God and serving him only, making sure that nothing comes into jealousy, like you shouldn't create any idolatry, any image and all that. And the others is more related to your, how do you call it, your human relationship. They knew God. They did not what? Glorify him as God. What causes that? Just think about it. What causes that? It is man's desire to always feel big or to always like feel prominent. Feel like he's the boss of the moment. Oh, I brought this into existence. I discovered this. What I'm saying, if you are analyzing things very well, you are critically thinking with all that is happening around us, you get the picture. So now man has become like a god to himself. The creation or the creature has now become a god unto himself. And when that happens, when God is taken out of the picture, everything is thrown out of balance. Do you get it? Everything is thrown out of balance. So now, by your godliness, or not godliness, by your godliness, or by your assumption of deity, which you might not say, well, I'm God, but in actual sense, you're actually, all that you're saying is that you are. Now, everything is thrown off balance. So now you see advance. Oh yeah, we are still doing it without God. We are doing well. But now see what will be happening. The scriptures are deep. Open your mind and understand. He said, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. So some of the inventions of men. Neither were they were thankful. Oh, we did it ourselves. But became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart. So the fool has said in his heart that there's no word. God. Their foolish heart became what? Darkened. And when it became darkened, what came? He said, professing themselves to be wise. So professing themselves to be wise. Now, oh yeah, we are wise on our own. We can create our own rules. We can create our own policies and all that. They became what? Fools. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image like what? Corruptible man. We started worshiping ourselves. And to birds. And four-footed beasts. And creepy things. All sort of things. That's why when you look at some of the images you see, you'll be seeing the snakes. You'll be seeing certain creatures, certain animals. I mean, you can see some of the signs in Egypt. Some of the signs amongst the Greek, a lot of the signs. Let's go. Then, this is very, very important. I think this is more relatable. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. So the moment you take God out of picture, I said everything is thrown out of what? Balance. So you might be having some advancement, running the world, doing everything, but your foolish heart because it is denying the possibility of God. They are to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between what? Themselves. Then it will lead to the changing of the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. So now we have become men pleasers, men worshippers, and all that. There's no God, so we can do anything that we can do. That is what's happening. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. Hallelujah. And likewise, also, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, they burned in their lust one toward another. So this is how all these things came about. It's like, oh, okay, this is what happens. In their mind, this is a funny one. In their mind, okay, there's a hole in the woman. We can see that there's a hole. But we can also see that there's a hole in the man. So if there's a hole in the man, from their science, let us explore. Let us explore what it will also be. And let's see with our science what it will also what produce. And they went to explore. And when they explored, it's the consequence of. So their science told them that, okay, all whole is whole. And now you can see a lot of science. I mean, now there are all sort of toys being made. They are creating holes everywhere. So not just human holes now. Holes of animals. Holes of what? How do you call it? Oh, you are doing as if you don't know what is happening in the world. Eh? Hey, you are very spiritual. Very sanctified. Now you are seeing dogs and horses. You are saying what? Bestiality. Anyway. And likewise also, the men leaving the natural use of the woman. So there's that which is natural. It's supposed to be lock and key.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Tell us more.
Lock and key. So. I won't talk. It's supposed to be lock and key, okay? The men leaving the natural use of the woman, they burned in their lust toward one another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain the God knowledge. So I'm trying to, you know, I said I'm speaking about our region and then what is also happening. So now you are seeing the advancement of science and everything, but in this case it is coming outside of God. So now there will be a corruption of the science in the exploration. So in the exploration, let us explore everything, let us search everything, and let's see what would happen. It's just like how someone said, you search everything, even if it's foolishness, let me what? Explore. In exploring, this is the situation that we have. And now, it has become what?
A very serious matter.
It has become a very serious matter, even in Ghana. Ghanaians, most Ghanaians are saying, okay, we want to maintain our tradition. Our tradition is tradition. So it's considered in this part, Africans, they still love their God. They still believe that there is God, even if it is coming through other in the Sri Lanka. They can serve all the other gods, but they have the bigger the Ochedian pole. So they are the bigger, the supreme being. Yes. And it's, so we don't want to corrupt ourselves. Even if we say we are serving idols and things, we know that there's big God. So let's maintain that. But here it is now. You're also being told that, oh no, it's about signs. It's about separating signs, right? And it has been separated to the point that, like, now if you are pursuing signs as inspired by them, it's likely that you end up neglecting everything that is called spirituality, forgetting that the initial, you know, people did not take the nitty-gritties of the experiences of the scientists. There are some certain scientists, these are God-fearing people, there are some too, I mean, something else altogether, because they've taken God out of the picture, so they become something else. But there are a lot of them, some of them, very good foundation, some of the ideas they got, and all that. It's like communication of spirits, like spirit beings. They are scientists. I can mention some of them to you, but I wouldn't want to mention some of them, because I don't want to get you exposed to some certain spiritual things. There were people that were so knowledgeable in God, they pursued the word, they wrote books in science, in philosophy, like in every area, as well as writing books on true spirituality. They are there with all their writings and things. There. Let's complete this. And even as they did not like to retain God, so they didn't want to what? Retain God. It was like a decision. We don't want to retain God. Though in God we trust, but we don't want to retain God. So the beginning was like God. Then it became like a discovery is telling us that okay, we are okay on our own. We are the gods on our own. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Reprobate mind. Do you understand reprobate? So this is how the definition is like. Reprobate is that not standing the test, not approved. That which does not prove itself, such as it ought to. Then worthless or rejected, or a mind that is cast away, unapproved. That is what a reprobate mind is. So once they take God out of the picture, you are given over to reprobate mind, to do things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate. So you can see a lot of the works of the flesh here. Can you see it? So this is where it comes from. So there is the possibility for men to really do very well when it comes to their scientific life. Hallelujah. So there will be a lot of progress. There are buildings. They are having streets. Everything seems to be moving well. Industries and all that. But remember, that ability is even still from God. But because you have taken God out of the picture, thinking that you are God, now these signs begin to follow you, which is a proof that you have actually taken God out of the picture. You are now giving off or giving away to what? A mind that is degenerate. A mind that is reprobate. Then you produce all this wickedness. 30. Backbiters, haters of God. Despiteful, they become proud, boasters, inventors of what? Evil things. Can you see? Can you see all the things? So it's essentially nuclear power. The nuclear power can be used to actually power the whole world, but it can also be used for what? Something destructive. Okay, yeah, if electricity can do this, or if this nuclear power can do, what about using the chain power of the nuclear this thing, nuclear elements. Actually, we can wipe nations. We can clear people if anybody So we can cause confusion. If anybody attempts, we'll try the thing on there. You see, is it a wickedness? We'll cause confusion, cause problem. If anybody attempts, inventors of wicked what? Wicked things. So it's inventional. It's invention, but remember, most of it coming from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So definitely there'll be good things. So you'll see electricity from nuclear plants and all that. But then you will see what? Nuclear weapons. Do you know the source of the knowledge of nuclear weapons, where it's coming from? It is coming from fallen minds. Hallelujah. It is alien in origin, but it is not coming from God. So good things will be happening. And so usually some of the mistakes we make is making very good reference to the good things and great things happening, but we still fail to see the other side of things and how it is a wrong spirit that is actually in control. Inventors of what? Wicked, evil things. Okay. Then, of evil things, disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents. I'm not even talking about Africa. I've spoken about the Africa one. Disobedient to parents. Do you know what is happening outside now? You cannot properly discipline your child. You have to pamper it unless you train the person from childhood. You'll be there now, and your child can just call the police. My daddy threatened me. Can you do that to your African boy? You call police that. Even the policeman will join your father to beat you up, like. Or even now, you can't even shout. You can't shout on your child, because we have child rights. Now they have a child rights, women rights, and then what? There's another one, animal rights. You can't treat animals anyhow. You can't treat women anyhow. We are not saying, we are not approving treat of women anyhow, but the point I'm trying. So now you might be talking to a woman who slap you, and you just have to be there, because if you touch her like this, assault. Why did you touch a woman? Why did you touch a woman? So now you can't touch your children. You can't discipline them. And it's coming slow. Now you can't cane the children at school. But it's like that, right?
Yeah.
Now those days we were cane. Like those days we were cane. And I think the scripture supports it. And you know, it is symbolic though. Like rod of correction is actually God's word. But physically, if somebody is stubborn and you apply the rod of correction with the right counsel, the person will change. But if you just apply the rod like that, one day the person will become hardened. Now, there were students in that time. When you are king, they will just come. But they just take it to Deji. But Deji, they boom. And there were some people that were so bad, they will put notebook or something that will not be seen. Like, so, because no matter how you be, when the teachers see that, then they apply that the back of their leg. That one will see how you say that you cry. But this is it. So, you see, somebody was making a statement. I think, was it Ella on Friday? How, by the time things are pushed. What was it you making that? Yeah, so things are being pushed to the point that now, in the next generation, it has become, don't touch the child. We are not saying that you should abuse the child either. It's not like abusing the child, cutting the child with blade, and no, not those things. But if foolishness is attached to the heart of a child, you need a rod of correction. Hallelujah. So there's that role that it plays. Rod of correction, you love. I love my father so much. But I remember the last beating of my life. I still remember. You see? I remember. you've grown. You love your father. You still love your father. You, no matter what. Please say you are going to kill your father for all the beatings that was given to you. No. It has contributed to, to the growth of your life. But now, see, many of the things are being pushed away. So now, very soon, you know how right over your children when it comes to training them up, or even when they are fooling. Even the teacher, like students, in some of the class, students talk to teachers anyhow. Anyhow. And it will be as if you are rather at fault, you have to beg so that the child will go and report. What is happening now? Well, so in the name of we worshiping ourselves as gods, now we are destroying the next generation, we are destroying our children, we are proving all sorts of things. Initially, there will be resistance, like what is happening in Ghana, resistance to a lot of the new culture and things being introduced. It's already actually operating amongst us, but we are trying to resist it. In the next generation, due to the things they are being taught, it will become normal. Like, oh, this man, this, oh, he, oh, me, I like girls. Or, oh, me, I like boys. Okay, me, I do both. The other time I was giving you an example. A transgender man in relationship with a transgender woman. Still a man and a woman relationship. So the man went to convert and became, she says, is a woman. And now the woman also converted and said, is a man. And then they've met and they are falling in love. And the world, the scientific world is saying that there's nothing wrong with this one. You can't go and say, if I go and, as I'm talking, they will say that I am, how do you call it? I've been brainwashed by religion, science advancing, and we are still thinking about some of these things. We are thinking about religion. Religion is making our mind backwards. Meanwhile, the Bible is saying that it rather makes them, when they take God out of the picture, it makes their mind backwards. It goes below the standard. And the proof is that it leads to all forms of God. Without a disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they commit such things are not worthy of that, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So he's also saying that there are some that might not be practicing exactly the same things, but they delight in it. It's like when they see such things, you are equally partaking of the same. So this is the word of the Lord. So a lot of things happening. So there's a place where Africa is an advantage. There is a place where you can see, let's say, the Western world also at an advantage because of the foundation they had earlier. But the moment they took God out of the picture, or the moment they failed to acknowledge God out of the picture, you'll be exposed to all forms of inventions, all forms of laws, policies, all sorts of ideas. Let's do this, let's legalize it. And by the time you realize the world has become something else altogether, we wonder how the world will become in like 50 years to come if these things still begin to persist. Because as it begins to persist, we see that we will soften our, how do you call it, our aggression against it. Aggression to the point of acceptance. That is how it works. What's the time? My time is up. Okay, 2 minutes more. So when it comes to the church of God, the issue that we have to deal with is the laying down of our pride. Hallelujah. Laying down of our pride. Because in the church, looking at my little observation, what I've said, I realized that people that seems to have a lot of gifts, they are proud. People that seem to know the word of God, they are proud. So the gifts man will say that the one that knows the word of God, they don't understand spiritual things. And then the one that thinks he understands the word of God, not also pretty in love, will say that these people, they are not moving by the word of God. They are pride. We are all proud. what has the church been sent to do? What has God sent us to do in this time? What have we been sent to do? Can we have that common goal and pursuit? You see, the world naturally keeps on moving on. The world keeps on moving on. Whether you do what is assigned to you, you don't do what is assigned to you. Don't you see that the years are moving? But let me give an example. He said you are growing. Whether you marry or you don't marry, the years are what? Moving. It's the same. Whether you have children, you don't have children, the years are going. You are becoming old. So, what we need to do is that God has an assignment for the church. And that is what we need to focus on. So the internal errors and this, yes, we are correcting it, but we should not forget that it is also time bound, because we do not have time on our side. When you were 1 year old, you knew that, oh, you had maybe 70 times your life to live. When you were 1 year old, when you were 2 years old, you have what? Maybe 35 times to live. I'm just using 70 as an example. Now you are 35. Or you are even 40. How many times do you have to live? Maybe times two of you. So if you have anything doing, let us do it with all our might. I gave you the example of the three Hebrew boys and Daniel, so that you know that despite the space that you find yourself in, God has given us His excellent spirit, and we are supposed to be fruitful in understanding in whatever we find ourselves doing, if it is education, if it is governance. Anyway, the guys were, but he said, when you read now, I don't know what I read it for you. He said they were, chapter 1, he said they were found to be 10 times. Do you know what it means to be 10 times better?
That means the gap is big.
It's not that maybe the people have had 80% and you have had 90% too. It's like 10 times better. So if somebody is getting 10%, let's say you are getting like 100%. If somebody is getting 100%, you are getting 1,000%. You know 1,000% is possible. It's possible in investment. Is it not possible?
Yeah.
You can have 1,000%. So compare it in that world, like these guys are like better. I'm sure they didn't have the words to use. Why? Because the spirit that was in them. You see, there were other people that were there. They were equally operating. The scientists, the magicians, the lawyers. They were very intelligent people there, except in the whole kingdom. But just that this matter came up. One of the issues that came up, a hand wrote on the wall. Nobody could interpret that language. They couldn't find the origin of that language. But one with the excellent spirit of God was able to decode them. An issue came up where the king also had a dream. And this time, the king's request was that he cannot remember the dream. So somebody should go. It's not that he'll tell you the dream, then you go interpret it. He said, tell me the dream that I had. What a request. Tell me the dream that I have. So you see, when you have seen something, when somebody's telling you, do you remember? Tell me the dream. So we have the Spirit of God. Let's take advantage of the Spirit of God. Let's practicalize the experience. And let's involve the Spirit of God in everything. So we've seen the problems within the church. Many of the issues, these issues will cry. And then we need to also learn. Learning, but without pride. We've seen the issue with Africa, and then the issue of the Western world. We've seen God's counsel on that matter. That once we take God out of the picture, everything go backwards. Let's be upstanding.